Get your Bibles
and turn to John chapter 4. Good to see you today. John chapter 4. And we will, I'll read the first verse and you read the second, and we'll go up through, probably ought to, let's just read today. We'll go to verse 26. Beginning at 1, John chapter 4, we'll read through verse 26. Try to stay together. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John,
though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples,
he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee.
And he must needs go through Samaria.
Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water?
Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?
Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for friends together with, believers together with. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us this message, these testimonies, and we know they're true. By faith, we trust your word to guide us in our walk in this life. Give us wisdom today. As we open the Word of God, may you touch our hearts. If there's someone here lost, I pray they may be convicted and brought to salvation. If there's someone here that's down and blue and bad and spiritually depressed, I pray, God, you'd lift their spirits. I pray that we'd walk away being blessed by the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we ask you, give me a freedom ease to speak the word and touch hearts and lives. We give it into your hands, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse that I really got a hold of me was verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." That's a tremendous verse, you know. That's just absolutely a beautiful passage of Scripture and the things that it brings up. I remember most of my life I've been an evangelist. I've been after winning souls. I've been preaching a little over 61 years. And most of that time has been spent in evangelism. I've knocked on doors all over, passed out tracts, talked to people one way or the other. I've got on airplanes and start talking to the fellow next to me and end up giving him my $16 New Testament. All the time. Witnessed a whole lot. And you know, several times in my life, what Jesus said here, "If thou knewest the gift of God," what would happen? If thou knewest the gift of God, things would be different. Here's a woman. She's coming up to the well that her village gets water from. And here's this Jewish man. I don't know whether he was dressed or where she would think he was a preacher of some sort or anything like that. I'm not sure how he was dressed. But here's a Jewish man going across Samaria to Jerusalem to worship. And so he's out there by this well, and he says, "Give me to drink." He takes this Samaritan woman and asks her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" He was tired. You know, Jesus got tired. He got tired. He got hungry. Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are. And he asked her for a drink. Now, we just recently, there have been so many killings and shootings over prejudice. Now, I'm prejudiced for my own family. If you're not part of my family, I'm sorry, just second class. You understand what I'm saying? Aren't you? I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of my parents. They weren't somebody special. They're not in who's who, anything like that. They were just two country kids. They went to school to the 10th grade, and neither one got to 12th grade. Because you had to go in those days 20 miles to Lampasas to get it, and the old roads and whatever. And every kid didn't have a car in those days either. Weren't a lot of bus routes going, so there was just no way for them to get it. So the one thing my dad wanted for me, he wanted me to have a college degree. He wanted me to finish high school. He wanted me to get a college. Because it held him back all of his life. He was a better mechanic than those that bossed him. But he didn't have a high school diploma. I don't guess he ever thought of going back and getting a GED. Probably never dawned on him in his mind. But wonderful, wonderful parents. I love them. They were great people. I hope you love your parents, or that you had good parents. Wonderful thing. But as I think about it, if thou knewest the gift of God. You know what her problem was? She didn't know the gift of God. And by the way, she didn't know who she was talking to. If you knew, Al Schreiner visited with me for years. And I would meet him many times when he got off work. And we'd meet him over like in his neighborhood. We went over all those streets in the neighborhood. And this is the blocks just would go down and then down and then down. And I got to thinking, by the time we finished going up all of the length of that one block, four or five people moved in and out behind us. You try to get everybody, you can't get everybody, you know, because there were ones. And you know, I would talk to some of them, and they were so bored. They did not have any interest. They did not want me bothering them. They did not want me talking. And I thought, if they knew what I know, if they knew the Lord as I know the Lord, if they knew what the Bible said, if they knew the gift of God, Wow. And so I want to talk about if thou knewest the gift of God. Thou would have asked of me, of him, and he would have given thee living water. I was a preacher of the gospel. I got saved. I wasn't this real good guy and grew up all along religious and whatever, because I was somewhat religious. But I got saved. And I became a Christian. And you know what that did? That made me the enemy of some people. They were prejudiced against me simply because I was a Christian. And same way with race. Now, we've had these people going in and shooting up mosques. Why, it's crazy. It's crazy. I really think people that are killers and stuff like this, I believe they've got a craziness in them. They don't think the way the rest of us think. You don't think like that. I hope you don't think like that. I won't lend you my gun. But I thought as I knocked on doors, if you really knew the joy I have come into, if you knew what God had done for me, if you knew what God could do for you, you would pay attention, you'd listen. If thou knewest the gift of God, one of the big problems is we don't understand our heritage. There's plenty of people in the church that are not sure about the gift of God. There's a whole lot of people that they're just not interested in reading the Bible. They've never read it through. They're not going to read it through. They don't think they need to read it through. And they listen to whatever the preacher says. And they may be very good folks that way, but bless your heart. If you knew the gift of God and what you could see out of it and the blessing that could come to you, Brother Brian was talking about the Spirit of God giving assurance and faith and peace. That's what it's done for me. And I hope many of you, that you know the gift of God. So I want to talk a little bit about it. Here's this woman, and I wanted to think a little bit about her prejudice. And we've got it all over us. It's not just racial prejudice. It's religious prejudice. It's national prejudice. It's all kinds of things like that. I'm better than you, and I look down upon you. Or you're better than me, and you look down upon me. What a waste. What a waste. I've known some really good people of all kinds of races.
Yeah.
Religions. So I've got some people, man, we did not agree on doctrine at all, but great people. Great people. And I used to play tennis with a Methodist, but the real strong Methodist that broke away from the Methodist. Can't think of it now. But anyway, He was a preacher, and I was a preacher, and we played tennis together. I remember one time I came up, and I really slammed it and broke his glasses. Now, he was real careful about the Bible. Nothing went over the Bible in his house. See, I carried my New Testament in my hip pocket. He thought that was sacrilege, you know. I mean, you got on your butt the Word of God. You know, that's not very honoring. Well, in I don't know about your Air Force time or Army time, they wouldn't let us put anything in our top shirts, their pockets. Nothing could go there. Why they had the pockets, I don't know, but they didn't want you using them. And I couldn't carry that New Testament. And by the way, it had grease and oil and jet fuel, and it had all sorts of things. I read it about 20 times that first year I got saved, but I learned something from it. That old beat-up New Testament, it was about that wide, that thick. It came out about as thick as my thumb when I got it. By the time I got rid of it, it was about that thick. And I stuck it in my back pocket. And every time I wanted to smoke, I said, Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit. Help me out. And I'd read and pray. And then every time I got a chance, I'd just read it. And bless your heart, I got it read 20 times the first year I got saved. You know what that'll do for you? It'll plant some of this seed in your brain. Amen. You can actually think, and all of a sudden God, the Holy Spirit, has got the ability to reach into your brain and pop one out for you. You can get blessed that way. And you know, God has just been so blessing to me. I've just been so blessed by God. So he says, you know, this woman, she comes out here and here's this Jewish man, and she doesn't like Jews and Jews don't like them. And he asks her for a drink. What's the big deal? Not a big deal. Like most of the times you get mad. It's not a big deal. You can just walk away from it and ignore it and whatever. But she's picking on him. Now, what are you doing asking drink from me? You're a Jew. You're heading to Jerusalem. You say that's the place to worship. There's another thing he says. The time is coming, and now is, when you won't worship in this mountain or in the other mountain. It's here, brother. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he resurrected from the grave, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came and entered into his believers. And you don't need to worship in this mountain or this church or this symbol or that symbol. Why? It's a spiritual thing. God is a spirit, and you have to worship him in spirit and truth. You can't think that just by coming to church, coming in here and sitting in a building that's set apart for worship or for religion, that you're going to get to God that way. You, when you're here, have to tune in by the Spirit in your heart, in your mind, into the Spirit of God, and that's where he's worshiped. And that's what he's telling them. Anyway, we're getting more and more of this stupidity. People are being killed over nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Just killed over nothing. Now, I can understand somebody being so depressed that they killed themselves. I can understand somebody seeing the suffering of their partner. They would take their life and take their own to get them out of suffering. Even in the old days, when they were fighting Indians, they would tell the women, you save the last bullet for yourself. Unless you want to be tortured, you know. So some of these things that come about, you see a reason to them. But today we got a bunch of crazies running around. They're running everywhere. And the trouble is we have so many ways of destruction. We got some great guns. I like the guns. I like shooting guns. But you know what? Guns kill. But you know there's another thing. Cars kill. Hey, planes kill. Bicycles kill. Yeah, all sorts of things like that. I would go up and down those streets, Alice Reiner and I, and so many people did not want to talk to us. I'm that way. Somebody knocks on my door, I don't want to go see them. I don't want to hear what they got to say. I got religious people knocking on my doors, and I'm not interested. I've got phone calls coming in. I've got a cell phone in my pocket, and I've got a house phone, a landline in the house. And they'll say, can I speak to the head of the house? I just punch the off button. I used to try to talk to them, but half the time I'm talking to a machine. They don't get the message. And so Johnny, if they call Johnny, he's got a whistle. He blows it into the thing. Whee! You know. So if it's... But that doesn't help if it's a machine. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. You got a message. You have the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a message of the salvation which is by faith. You have the message that God told you to go into all the world and preach it to every creature. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. You have a message they need.
Amen.
The gift of God. Well, look at it. Let's see. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. There again, it's like a parable. It's like an intended way to teach a truth. I'm going to give you something that's going to well up in you. They use it at other places in the gospel, in the New Testament. Well up into everlasting life. All of the great blessings that come to you, they come from the Spirit inside. God is in there praying for you to pray right. Isn't that amazing? I'm amazed at prayer. We come here every Wednesday night and we have a prayer meeting. And we divide up into different groups, and each one of us prays, and some of us are eloquent and some of us aren't. And some of us are long-winded and some of us are short. And some people don't ever speak out loud, so they just pray quietly or whatever. God answers prayer. God would listen to your prayer. God's interested in what you're interested in. Wow. The God that made this, the God that brought you into existence, the God that created all of these things, and we're blown away. You call that an accident? I don't think so. I could never believe evolution. I could never believe it was an accident.
Amen.
God is a creator.
That's right.
And He's such a great creator that you cannot imagine it. The gift of God. Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's a gift, right? That He gave His only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
Now let me tell you, you might not like my sons, but I wouldn't give one of them for any of you. I wouldn't give one of them for all of you. How about you? How about you? You wouldn't do it. God did something that blows my mind. It blows my mind that He'll listen to us and He wants to answer our prayers. It blows my mind that He gave His Son. That He came. That the salvation came this way. It has to be of God. Nobody ever thought this up. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about it. If salvation were, as most religion teaches, a reward for the good, many Christian churches are saying good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. You see, there's no good people. They don't realize that. They don't realize how they're sinning. There are no good people. You remember the guy that ran up to Jesus and said, good master. He said, why callest me good? None is good but God. You're not good. You don't cuss, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't... a whole lot of things. Does that make you good enough to go to heaven? No. You got too much pride. No, you got too much anger. You got too much hate in you. You got too much prejudice in you. You don't love your neighbor. You don't even love yourself well enough. You don't love God for sure. With all your heart. With all your mind. With all your strength. With all your soul. Well, that wouldn't leave anything for your kids or your work or your house or your wife or your husband. I loved Verlene. I tell you what, I loved her when she was 16. I married her when she was 18. And we went together almost 60 years, 59 and a half years. Bless your heart. I don't know that I've ever loved God as much as I loved Verlene. I don't know if I could. I don't know how God measures it. But I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my great-grandkids. You love so many things. I love hunting. I love riding a sailboat. I love a Hobie Cat, 18 foot. It'll fly across Canyon Lake. Shoo, boy. Lean one pontoon out of the water, just get it just right with a good wind. Woo, that's fun. I love that. You love things? You love so many things, we have a little problem loving God. Isn't that right? Am I talking a foreign language, or do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
The Old Testament has these 10 commandments. They're negative commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And also in there's the positive, but Jesus brings out the positive in the New Testament clearly. It's in all of the Gospels. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God is not looking for better. He's looking for perfect. How are you going to give Him perfect? Just Jesus. Just Jesus. If thou knewest the gift of God. Well, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. In Romans 8:32, there's a verse. He says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God would go to the trouble, if God would go to the sacrifice of His Son for you, is there anything else He would withhold? No. All the rest is napkins, paper, pencils, a few little candies on the shelf. He's not worried about it. If He's going to give His Son, think what everything else is in comparison to that. Ah, if you knew the gift of God. If you knew the kind of gifts God gives. If you knew what God has done to give you the gift. It says in Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? And then in 1 Corinthians 1:30. I want you to pay attention to this verse. You might ought to look it up. You might ought to write down on a page on it, mark it somehow. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him, that's God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Now it's of God. It's a gift. He has made me to be in Christ Jesus by His salvation, by His Holy Spirit. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made? Now notice what this is. This is God's making this. Who of God is made unto us wisdom? Righteousness. Sanctification. Redemption. Amen. Has your gift been getting any bigger? It's getting a whole lot bigger. Amen. You know what? I'm wise. I've got the wisdom of Christ. You know what? You're wise. Can you by faith claim the wisdom of Christ? Yes, I'll let God lead me. I don't like that verse. I don't like what God says here. Well, can you trust Him to be smarter than you?
Amen.
He's sure smarter than me. I tell you what, all of these things, man, I'm a Luddite. I don't like the new things. I'd rather stay back with the old thing. Give me a pencil. You know? I don't care about wanting to learn all these new things on the computer and all these different things that come out. They're fascinating. They're funny. They're wonderful. Yeah, but not for me. I'm old, okay? Let me be old. Hey, God is made unto us Christ as our wisdom. If you got Jesus Christ, you got the gift of God, then you have wisdom. The wisdom of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God. That gift is getting a little bigger. Got wisdom. How about righteousness? Oh, this is absolutely. God is not looking for the best. Used to when I thought about it, you know, God's going to take the best half to heaven and hoping I slipped into the middle in there somewhere and got to that half. I didn't want to go to hell. I believed in hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I don't know that I really wanted to go to heaven. From what I've read about heaven, I might not have enjoyed it if God hadn't changed me some. But you know what? I'm not going in my own righteousness. There's a lot of people think because you're a Christian, you say you're going to heaven, that you think you're something else. No, that's not at all. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. In this gift that God gives freely, it's not my righteousness. It's not that I don't cuss, drink, smoke, gamble, whatever. It's that I have Jesus' perfect righteousness imputed to my account. You can't get better than that. Some of the people are paying them to get their kids in college. It tickles me a little bit, but it's sort of funny. $500,000 so your girls can go to a school you want them to go to and party. And you kick somebody out that's been working their tail off trying to get there, and you take his place. I love it. They make them athletes and give them full scholarships. They don't even play the game. It's amazing. Well, what we got here? Righteousness. How about sanctification? How holy are you? How much of you really belongs to God today? Well, I tell you what, you better be thankful that He's made Christ your sanctification.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
How about redemption? Could you pay your way back? Could you pay off your sins? Well, in our Congress you probably can. And in some of these colleges you certainly can. You got enough money? You can just buy your way. You can just bypass all the rules and the laws and whatever and keep on going. But with God, you don't stand a chance.
Right.
Unless He gives you a gift. Now, if you knew the gift of God, if I knewest the gift of God, you know what? All of this is included in the gift of God. It's what God gave you when you got saved.
Amen.
You ought to be thanking God every day.
Amen.
You ought to get up in the morning and thank God I'm still alive. Get up and go to bed in the afternoon and at night, thank God for the rest I'm getting. Thank God for what I've got.
Amen.
Thank God I'm American.
Amen.
Thank God I'm a Texan.
Amen.
Some of you weren't born here, but you got here as quick as you could.
Amen.
Redemption. I've been bought back. My debt is paid.
Amen.
I don't owe a cent. Do you think I want to go back under Jewish law? I'm sorry. There are some very sweet Christians, and they're trying to be Christian Jews. I don't want to go back under that law. The Ten Commandments is only a highlight. It's just a highlight. Look at all of the things that they had to do. I'd have never made it. Would you?
No.
I doubt it. That's the reason why God made salvation as a gift. And so that Samaritan woman did not recognize that there was the gift of God she could have. And that's the way with a whole lot of people. Maybe some of you even sitting right here. You've never realized how great the gift is and that it's all free. If it were anything about you that you did consistently, that you had to be consistent for a day, you'd lose it. If it's not a gift, it's not eternal because you cannot keep it. You can't pay it back. If thou knewest the gift of God, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I am thrilled every time I think of the salvation that I have. I don't think I'm righteous. I don't think I'm holy. I think I am resting in the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. That's my only hope. If that doesn't make it, I'm not going to make it. If I have to be so faithful, oh yeah, you're a preacher of the gospel. Yeah. I know. Preachers are sinners just like everybody else. Preachers are tempted. Said Jesus was tempted like we were without sin. But you get tempted, you sin. You know, I'm telling you the truth. So I talked to people over the years for 61 years trying to win people to Christ. And some of the people will tell me they have never sinned. They don't understand what sin is. They don't understand that if you in your mind and in your heart you hate your brother, it's the same as you murdered him. It's a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. And they that worship must worship in spirit and truth. Now the woman says in verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now the first thing she did was, he was a Jewish man. And Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. So why would you ask me to give you a drink of water? Now then she says, he's a prophet. And then, she tells him, "You're a prophet. I know that Christ is coming." You remember that? "I know that Christ is coming." And Jesus says, "I that speak unto thee am he." I've run across people in my preaching, teaching, witnessing, whatever. So Jesus didn't claim to be God. Oh, yes, he did. He did a bunch of times. He said it right there, "I'm the Christ." Right here in chapter 4. In verse 24, it says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." It's not our clothes. When I first got saved, I was in a very big church, about 500 people in Sunday school on a regular basis. And I did a lot of visiting for them. Everybody was in coats and ties, and ladies were in fine clothes, and even kids, whatever. And I went and visited people, and they'd say, "I can't come to church. We don't have the clothes." And you know what? They were telling the truth. They would have been embarrassed. Some people would have said something about it. Some people would have judged them because they didn't wear good enough clothes. I got down in Guatemala. I was taught you didn't preach without a coat and a tie. I'm going out there to these Indians that don't even have shoes. They got big, wide, fat feet. Because most of them didn't have shoes. And I'm wearing a coat and tie. And the more I figured things out, I thought, you know, this is pretty stupid. I'm out here with a PA system. I finally got a PA system I put on the top of the truck. And I'd go out there in the fields, and they'd be out there working in the fields, and I'd blast that thing up. And then we'd take a bunch of them sometimes, and we'd go down in front of the main Catholic church in a new town, and we'd set up the speaker and whatever. And we'd preach and sing and whatever, and then go to another one. But it was like this. So I came back up here, and you don't know how much people despise our little church because we don't dress up fancy. You're not dressing up for God. You're crazy if you dress up for God. You ever thought about that? God sees you naked. He doesn't see you with you. He doesn't care about your Easter clothes. Your mama does. Your rival does. They love to make fun of you. Oh, well, you don't have this or that, or that fades out on you, or that, you know. Who cares? God looking at your spirit. God's looking at the gift He's given you. What is it about you? Can anybody else tell you got the gift? You ought to be letting it shine.
Amen.
You ought to be letting it shine. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then in John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He said, "There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they're white, all ready to harvest." We got a town here, well over 1 million people, probably 2 million if you counted all the little things, little towns within the town, and whatever. It's white to harvest. It's ready to harvest. Now the problem is, it doesn't know it. They need it. It's harvest time. Millions of people are going to hell when they die because they don't know the gift of God. They don't know what it is, and they don't know who Jesus is. They think it's just another religion. And some of these religions, bless your heart, they're really not Christian. It's amazing. Salvation is a gift. It's the only way you can get it. You cannot earn it. You, by faith, receive what God has given and provided for you. And that's the only way you'll ever get saved. Turn to Psalm number 249. I'm going to give an invitation. And you are welcome, if God's spoken to your heart in any way, to come down here, pray. If you're here and you're not saved, religion doesn't count. Remember, it doesn't count. It's physical. It's like this building here. It's in the spirit. You repent of your sins and you take Christ as the payment for your sins. And that's the only thing you hope in. Just Him. Him and His righteousness. If you're not saved, get saved. If the Lord spoke to your heart in any other way, He's moving by the Spirit. He doesn't come out here and just move from one to the other that we can see. He moves by the Spirit of God. Sometimes in a hymn. Sometimes in a special verse. Sometimes in a testimony. Do you know the gift of God? Do you know the gift of God? Do you know who it was that was talking to this lady? Well, you see, that's the only way you can get saved. You got to know Jesus Christ. You got to recognize Him by faith as the one that died in your place. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to save your soul. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Let's sing the song. Why don't you think about the Lord, and if the Lord speaks to your heart, move on that inner voice. It's an inner voice. It's your voice. You hear your voice when you're talking like that. It's not going to be something strange. But the Spirit of God will speak to you. And some of you need a revival. Some of you need to be saved. Listen to that inner voice and say yes to God.
Amen.
He'll hear you. Did you know God hears you?
Amen.
Many times I've been in a hospital when somebody could not respond to me. But I would tell them, if you can hear me, God can hear you. And that's the same way.
Thank you, Lord.
God can hear you. It's by the Spirit of God. It's an internal thing. It has nothing to do with this flesh. Praise God. God have a good day. God have a good day.